All right, good morning, everybody. I just felt led to pray this morning before JP shares a message. But before I do that, I just wanted to share that he was actually going to be preaching this message back in January, on January 14th. And I'm pretty sure it got canceled because there was a snowstorm.
True story.
Yes. But January 14th was actually 13 years that JP has been clean, sober, and walking with the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share this scripture from 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yes.
So if you'd like to bow your heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to lift up my husband in prayer today. I'm so thankful that 13 years ago, he finally surrendered his life to you. His life is a testimony that when we fully surrender, you work miracles. Thank you for blessing me with a husband who is an amazing man of God, who leads his family towards you. Thank you for using his story to help bless others and give them hope. Keep him strong in his walk with you and protect him with your armor. And Lord, use JP this morning to share your message. Let it touch our hearts. And I pray we can all feel your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bring that. Marlo's going to need that. Well, good morning. Who's excited to be here? I'm excited. I'm JP. Just want to welcome you guys to Revive Wesleyan Springville Crossing Campus. Marla was talking about the three P's: pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. When we do these three things, God shows up and he starts to move. I know it seems repetitive some weeks because we say it all the time, but honestly, these three ingredients change lives. They change lives. So years ago, I was leading a 12-step group called Addiction Victorious. And I remember talking to some guys there saying, I wish that I could just get like a camera crew to follow us for 1 year. Like guys who are coming in seeking recovery. I remember I was like, you really want this? Listen to me, be obedient, and follow these rules. Go to church every Sunday, be consistent, serve, get plugged into the community, and watch what happens, okay? Pursue the Father and watch what happens. I just, in 1 year, watch what happens. That's why we are talking about this, because when we do those things, people change. You're looking at a life that has been changed. Amen? Thank you. So I was listening to a podcast, and I heard this. According to a survey, only 5% of people read an owner's manual. True. I am not one of those five. I do not read an owner's manual. You know, and it just made me think that we have an owner's manual, amen? We have a Bible, and a lot of people write it off, and they think, oh, it's some ancient book, but honestly, it is an instruction manual for us to live life. I don't know if you guys have heard the acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. A lot of people, it's on a shelf, we don't read it, we don't lean into it, we don't get into it, and then people wonder why their lives are out of whack. Am I the only one that looks around and can see a whole mess of people's lives? My own life, when I don't put things into practice? So it's just such a clear visual of like, I am horrible at putting things together. My brain does not operate that way. Assembling and disassembling, not good. So when I put something together, it's like leaning and not tight, and it's not good. That's our lives when we don't lean into God. Amen? So let's lean into God's word. Okay? Today we're in 1 Peter. We are going to be looking at what is holy? What is holy? But before that, I want to say a quick prayer because we could never have enough prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day, and I just pray for this message, Lord. Decrease me so that you are increased, Lord. You are the reason for the season. You are the driving force in our lives, Lord. And we just focus, we want to focus on you. We want to focus on your goodness because it is running after us. Lord, I pray for this message, and I just feel humbled and honored to be in this position to just spread your word, talk about your love and your transforming power, how you restore lives, and how you give us the desires of our hearts. So, Lord, we thank you for that, and I pray for this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So being holy means to live our lives in a way that reflects God's glory. So we are to reflect God's glory rather than conforming to the ways of the world. I'm sure you guys have heard that scripture. It's in Romans. It means that we need to abide by the rules that God has laid down for us in the Bible. It takes discipline to do this, and it's not always easy. Amen? Walking this out ain't always easy. A lot of times it's hard. Holiness can be an abstract concept because it's foreign to our human nature. It goes against what we want to do. People turn to sin and darkness, and they make themselves strangers because they just go to default. They go on what's easier. All right, but God is holy in his nature. Amen? It is the opposite of sin. The story of two wolves is a popular legend. It's usually associated with the Cherokee. The legend is a story of a grandfather using a metaphor of two wolves fighting within him to explain inner conflicts. And he's talking to his grandson. One wolf is evil. It's anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. It's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. When the grandson asks which wolf wins, the grandfather answers, whichever one you feed. Whichever one you feed. So let me ask, what wolf are you feeding? What wolf are we feeding? I want to give everyone a peek into my own personal life, which is kind of, can be scary. Don't throw anything at me. But the past few months, my beautiful wife Shannon and I, we've decided to start paying a closer attention to what we eat. We're investing into our own personal health by creating a new behavior, new habit, a new routine involving intermittent fasting, weight training, a little cardio. I don't know if you guys can tell, that's why I look so good right now. Why are you laughing? A lot of this behavior just comes down to routine and consistency. So, any guesses on how long it takes to create a habit? Any guesses? On average, it takes more than 2 months before a new behavior becomes automatic. 66 days to be exact. That's what the researchers say. So, in the long run, does it matter if Shannon and I miss a day, we have a cheat day, we end up not being disciplined that day? Probably not. But the goal is that eventually we want this behavior that goes against our original desire. We are striving that we want this. We're going to be hungry for this new desire. Because a lot of times I want to sit on the couch. I don't want to do anything. That's the default. But then I'm like, man, I want to start running. I want to start getting healthy. I just turned 40. I want to be healthy. And looking around, I bet you that we all have been at this point. We've had the motivation to get back on track, lose some weight, run, play pickup basketball, whatever it is. But I feel like we all can relate to that, whether we are in that habit now, at one time we were, or we're thinking about being there. Amen? So what does this have to do with 1 Peter? Bless you. Well, behind this idea of healthy habits, we have two central things. If you guys are taking notes, write it down. We have two central things here, desire and behavior. Peter has a lot to say about these two things in today's reading, starting in verse 13. To combine these, Peter uses a specific word. See if you guys can catch it. Remember, this was an oral culture, not a digital one. This was a couple of years before the iPhone had come out. Okay, so even a letter that was written would be read out loud to a majority of an illiterate crowd. And regardless of literacy, writing was expensive. There was a lot that went into it. So these words were weighed out, they were carefully chosen, they were thought through, and they were conveyed by a carefully chosen public speaker. Peter was trying to make a point here. And I love how God does this because he'll keep bringing something up to our attention to get a point across. You might read it in a daily devotion, then you hop in the car and you hear something, scripture again, and then someone might bring it up. You guys ever been there? You keep hearing something, you're like, all right, God, are you telling me something? So we're going to read this together to catch what that word is. Amen? Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who has called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. So any guesses to what that word is? The answer is holy. Holiness would be the word that we use to explain the transformation of our behaviors and desires. And I don't want to pass over this too quick because, guys, this is the church. This is the transforming power of God. I stand on this because he's done it in my life. The Holy Spirit can change your life. He can change your heart, your behaviors, and your desires. Amen? So in verse 13, Peter moves the conversation to whom we will become. As I prepared for this message, a lot of my reading emphasized the statement, with minds alert and fully sober. With minds alert and fully sober. And this means a lot to me. I have a background in recovery. I struggled with drugs. I had a lot of time that I was not sober. I was not alert. I was a zombie walking around. We should have a slide up here. I want to show this off. Not that one. The next one, please. Okay, look at that idiot. Okay. This guy on the left was me in my mess, okay? This guy on the right is what God can do in someone's life. Those are my two beautiful girls right there, and it's a smile on my face, and I found my purpose right there, and I give God the glory for that right there. Amen? To God be the glory, and I mean that. I stand on that. That is my everything. I breathe it, I walk it, I talk it. That's the truth, guys. Like Shannon said, I was supposed to preach this January 14th, which was exactly my sobriety date. And then it got canceled, and PK's out of town. He gave me another chance to preach this message because it's so important to me. This hits home, and I stand on this. And I just want to take a minute to reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit to change you. And not everyone has a background that might be as messed up as mine with drugs and addiction and jail and lying and beat up relationships. But I'm telling you, we serve a God of restoration, a God who can take all that trash and turn it into treasure. Amen? And that's what happens when we let the Holy Spirit change our desires and our behavior. Because that old me, I was talking to Bob this morning. I said, the old me, I don't even desire that. God has so much better for us. And at that point, I was so afraid to let go of the life that I had, this garbage life, when God had something so much better. My beautiful family over here, especially Ayla. Belle, you too. Dalton, I love you, man. But listen, God gets the glory in my story, amen? So this scripture, with minds alert and sober, quite literally means to prepare your minds for battle. This is a battle. This ain't easy. That wasn't easy for me to do that. Got a friend who's in Teen Challenge right now, and I saw him. He's been in there a couple months now. You guys know Heath. He goes to this church. Heath is in Teen Challenge. He's doing great. And God's starting to work in his life. And he says, I said, how you doing, man? We were doing some work over here at the building, clearing out some stuff. He said, JP, he goes, this is the easiest thing, but it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And that resonated with me because it's so true with our walk with God. It's easy, but it's hard because it's that battle between the two wolves, between our flesh and our spirit. It's a battle. Isaiah 52:10 reads, God has rolled up his sleeves, and all the nations can see his holy, muscled arm. Everyone from one end to the earth to the other sees him at work, doing his salvation work, doing his work. God is waiting to help us. He's a worker, rolling up his sleeves. I love that verse. So Peter is warning us, the reader, the listener, that this is not going to be easy. It's not easy, guys. It's a fight. Most good things ain't easy, right? Most things that are worth fighting for, you got to fight. It takes consistency. You got to walk it out. It's going to be hard. But Peter is telling us that we got to become holy. Being holy is what God wants us. Raise your hand if you're trying to be holy. Me too. Holiness is derived and it originates from God's nature. That's who he is. What verses 15 and 16 tell us, it's actually a quote from Leviticus. We get put off by this word holy, though. Holy, it sounds like, you know, first thing that comes to mind maybe is like a holy roller. Oh, you're one of them holy rollers, huh? You a Bible thumper. For me, holiness brings up images of maybe like glowing white clothes. Okay, a halo, you know, maybe a cartoon character. Yes, that was actually me when I was 8. That was me. Now, this image isn't a perfect description of what being holy is. We should recognize we are not holy, but God is. Amen? God is different. There's something sacred about God. He's set apart. He's different. His ways are not our ways. He's different. And the closer we get to him, here's another anomaly. The closer we get to him, the more we realize there's so much more to know. You could be walking with him for 50 years and you're like, you're just getting the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. God is so deep. We can't really fully wrap our human minds around that. And the old school word for holy is sanctified. You guys have heard that word. Sanctification, right? But let's catch verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Three things to see right here. One, we are God's children. Two, being a child of God changes our desires. And three, being a child of God changes our behaviors. I had a conversation this morning with Bob. It was a good one, which was rare. We usually don't have good conversations, but I love you, man. I said, listen, with my background in recovery, the missing ingredient that a lot of my friends who are seeking to recover from drugs and addiction is they're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. We are fighting a battle here, man. This addiction thing ain't no joke. We're losing more people than we're gaining. We need a supernatural power to be redeemed from this. Not only redeemed, but clean, restored, and blessed. God is willing to exchange us our trash and give us treasure. And that's what happens is God, the Holy Spirit, he changes our desires and our behaviors. That's the whole big picture here, church. This is holiness. This is the process of sanctification where God starts to change us. Being holy, we should change. Amen? You see, we're brought into God's family, or we're adopted by the grace of Jesus. Our identity has become children of our Heavenly Father. But this is where it gets good. Follow me on this one. God's children, we all have different desires. We all have different backgrounds. There's different rules, different standards for those who are in the church, who are in the family of God. When those behaviors and our desires align with God, we start to become holy. That's when God gets a hold of us, and that's when God starts to change us. Amen? Quick example. My mom's standard of going to church, we were raised Catholic, and we went to church a lot. That was important to my mom and dad. So we had rules. When mom and dad were going to church, we got out of bed, we were going to church. The goal was to develop a hunger and a reliance for God. This was a behavior that mom set as the standard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my mom for that. Maybe even if she had to drag us out and we went to church with our hair all messed up and pouting in the corner, it was still a standard for mom. And fast forward 35 years later, and now I'm doing that with my family. Amen? And we could do this with a variety of other standards of family origin, whether it was bedtime, routines, or what movies you watched, video games you play, or what you weren't allowed to play, not quitting, good work ethic. It was all to help form the person I was becoming. It was to give me an appetite for something that was beyond my initial desire. Amen? You guys follow me on that? To give you an appetite of something that goes beyond your initial desire. They wanted me to grow into someone who wanted a particular lifestyle and lived it, walked it, and talked it. Amen. And I'm doing that now. Praise God, because the Holy Spirit can change your desires and your behavior. And God's family is very similar. God's family has certain rules, or better yet, standards. These aren't focused on simply not doing certain things. It's bigger than that. And this is what I'm talking about. It's about changing. Changing our desires and our appetites for the things of God. Amen? So that's what I'm talking about. You get cleaned up by God. When I'm first in recovery, people are like, man, you got to give up all that. You can't drink no more. You can't party no more. You don't swear. You're in bed by 10 o'clock, bro. That life, what? I don't want that life. I'm out till 2 partying. They think that giving up all this stuff, I'm losing out on everything. But it's not that I don't get to do these things. It's look at what I get. I have so much more. Amen? You guys follow me on that? I don't want all the fool's gold. I don't want these things that people are chasing. Thank God that I've been able to see that, because a lot of people in life, man, we're chasing. We're chasing money. We're chasing a job. You're chasing women. You're chasing relationships. You're chasing something, drugs, party. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, your perspective changes, and you start chasing after the things of God. Amen? Holiness is a complete transformation of your desires. And as an outflow, you start to see a change in your wants and your needs. We begin to live, and we start to behave differently. We start to behave like Jesus. Amen? And we shouldn't take that lightly. We start to become like Jesus. In simple terms, we're changed. We're a new creation. Scripture tells us that. We start to change into someone different. God has changed me. I've seen it in other people's life. A dramatic change. That's the power of God. And our God, our holy God, is inviting us into this family. He's inviting us. Come on. He's saying, come on. Who wants this? It's available for all of us. It's a living hope in Jesus. And it includes being more like him. And I remember being scared about what Jesus was going to do in my life. I was really, you know, like I thought I was really cool. And this, I don't want to be no Jesus freak. I didn't know what that was going to look like. Going to church all the time. Or I just didn't know. And the enemy used that doubt. He used that to warp my what walking with God looks like. And walking with God is the coolest thing I've ever seen. The confidence, the peace, the joy that surpasses all understanding. That joy, that's my strength. The world can't take that. Amen? So we are brought into God's family through a living hope. that we have in Jesus. And I love this church. I love Revive because we have so many opportunities to grow in our faith, guys. We have an opportunity to grow, which is what we're called to do. We're not called to be stagnant. So we're going to skip down to verse 22. And Peter continues developing this idea of holiness here. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. We're going to skip down to verse 1. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So that you may grow up in your salvation. Sorry, guys. I felt like yelling that. Because it's important. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many people here have tasted that the Lord is good? Yes, I've tasted. And there's a lot to wrap our heads around here, but bear with me. We have been purified, and I like Revive because there's opportunities to plug in and to learn about this. To learn about what is this, what do these words mean? Sanctification, being purified, adoption, new creation. Okay, because once we can wrap our heads around this, we can really start to make it personal and to learn from it and grow from it. We have been purified by the blood of Jesus. And that purification is our adoption into a new family, a rebirth into God's family. Again, we are God's children. It is here, though, that Peter really explains what holiness looks like. You see, we have an eternity to hope for in God. And in our hope to be like God, we see this natural shift in our desires. Being a child of God changes our desires. Our desires turn towards those of God, which means loving others, those around us. That's just what happens. We get saved, we get cleaned up, and I want to love you guys. I want to say, hey, you need a hand with something. Our focus turns from self to others. I know it's crazy, but it's a true thing. Not only do our desires change, church, but our actual behavior. We start to act different. Being a child of God changes our behavior. This is the mark of holiness. Love for one another. Love for God. And that love is directly derived from who God is. God is love. This is the greatest commandment. God says, love God, love people. Do that. Do these two things and watch what happens. Jesus taught it and Peter was right there. Peter was right there for these teachings about love. So he knows how important it is to convey this message, which is what he's doing in 1 Peter here. Now, I could spend some time on these don'ts and break them down, or we could point out that they're just all self-seeking, self-serving. Okay, they originate from our first worldly desire. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. Remember that sermon series? Mine, 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 mine. That's our default. But the family of God turns us outwards, towards love, towards others, towards the desires of God. Being holy creates a holiness craving within us, a deep-seated desire for God and the things of God. Love originates from the holiness of God. So we're not going to read this and take it as an issue of maturity, even though Peter talks about newborns. This is actually a metaphor. Check this out, church. It's a metaphor of how much we want God, not a spiritual stage here. We're all at different points of our relationship with Jesus. We're all at different points of our walk. But regardless of where we are, check this, church, our craving for God should grow. The more we walk with God, the more hungry. We tasted and seen. We should have an appetite more and more for God. Amen? Our desire to please God the Father should grow. Our need for the things of God should grow. The life of God, the person Jesus is, we should actually start to grow in our holiness. And on the other end of that, we actually start to remove ourselves from situations that aren't of God. That's just what happens. When we have the Holy Spirit and we're in a situation and you just know. You're like, man, I don't want to be here. And it's tough to always, you know, it's a balance. Holiness gives us a greater desire for Jesus, not less. Holiness gives us a greater desire for Jesus, not less. This passage compares it to an appetite. I love it. Holiness isn't an arrival point. It's a hunger. It's the increase of our appetite to become more like Jesus. But we must ask ourselves, if we have tasted God's goodness, has it changed our desires? If you've tasted and seen, are you heading in that direction? Has it changed our behaviors? Because being a child of God does this. This is what happens. It changes our behavior and desires. You know, there's a famous quote that became well known from a man who wasn't even a Christian about Christians. Gandhi said, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." He says, "I like your Christ, but the followers, your Christians, I don't like them." Now that stings a little bit coming from a non-Christian or someone who's highly respected like Gandhi, but a lot of us get it wrong, and we're all guilty of that. Holiness is becoming like Christ. This isn't meant to be a guilt trip message or shame on you. You need to be doing better. But it's an invitation. And this is part of the church, guys, is that we have these invitations because we're supposed to call each other out and say, come on, we need to grow. We need to grow together. And the more time that we spend with God, maybe through reading devotions or Bible study, community group, the more time that we spend around God and the people of God, the more we change, amen? The more we start to become like him. The more we seek to be obedient with the ways of the Lord. And no one's perfect, but that's the goal. We should be, what's our target? We need to have a target. We need to aim for that. And we should be aiming at Jesus. Okay, what that looks like. Helping our neighbors out. Caring for that. You know, taking a meal. Snow plowing for them. Mowing their grass. Holiness is about who you are becoming, not who you are today. We're all growing. Unfortunately, here's a big message, guys, that I want everyone to hold on to this morning. Unfortunately, many Christians, we never move beyond the introductory relationship with God from our salvation. Salvation is great, but it wasn't meant to be a landing point. We don't just get baptized and accept the Lord and then sit back and do nothing. We should be growing. God, he's asking for more of us. He wants all of us. But for today, I want to ask some questions. Ask yourself these, or better yet, ask your family, some people who love you, some questions because they'll be more honest with you. We have a tendency to lie to ourselves. Oh, I'm doing great with that. No, ask your wife how you're doing with that. One, am I becoming more like Jesus? Ask someone close to you. Two, have my desires shifted? Three, what would it mean for me to live a holy life? Holiness comes from wanting to live the life that God wants for us, not the life we chose, not what we want to do. It ain't all about us. It's learning to start healthy habits, start a new routine. It takes time. It takes patience. It's a fight. Roll up your sleeves. Get to work. Allow your love for Jesus to begin to shape your behavior. Allow Jesus to start to shape your life. And it takes time. It takes time. Give yourself a little grace, guys. This is a marathon. It's a long, we got a long race here we're running. We are God's children. Being children of God, it changes everything in our lives. And remember this, church. Remember, whichever wolf you feed is going to win that internal battle. We're all feeding something. We're all planting seeds. I shared this the other day. We're all planting seeds. You're either going to reap a harvest of something good or you're going to reap a harvest of something bad. Does that make sense? Because we're all planting something. There's a harvest growing. It's up to us to do the right thing. At this time, I want to welcome the worship team up, and I want to pray for the service again. Father God, we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Spirit that changes lives, Lord. I thank you for the work that you've done in my life. And I just thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Keith. I thank you for his heart for the community. Lord, you are amazing. And your goodness, yes, it's running. It's running after us, Lord. And I just pray that someone here today needs to hear this, that they got to stop running. Stop running. It's tired. Just stop running and let the Holy Spirit start working in your life. Lord, we thank you for people, your people, our church family, who surround us, who edify us, who build us up, who speak life into situations, Lord. I pray right now for everyone who is hearing this, a touch of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Not just a touch, but throwing a whole bucket of water on a person so drenched with the Holy Spirit that they come out of this thing and their face is shining like Moses coming down from the hill, from the mountain. Lord, I pray revival. I pray for people that come into this church, Lord, that they're so different. And they give you the glory with their story, Lord. You are capable of amazing things, Lord. And we know that. We believe it. Let's lean into it. Let's lean into your Holy Spirit. Let's lean into our faith. Let's lean into being obedient and growing together as a church. Lord, there is so much to be thankful for. And we just give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. Lord, you are worthy, worthy, worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.